Now, Galvin, this is right up your alley.
Yeah.
An Olympic runner.
Yeah.
What? You're a runner. She is a has a book. Her name is Susie Faber Hamilton.
Uh-huh.
She has a book called Fast Girl, A Life Spent Running from Madness. She was just your typical Wisconsin housewife who happened to make it to the Olympics a couple of times.
Right.
And then decided, like, I've seen this a lot in women that I've known for a long time. They spend all these years being the person that they think they're supposed to be, the mother and the good wife, whatever. And then all of a sudden they get a taste of what it's like to just be crazy fun girl and they go nuts.
Right. Something triggers it.
Yeah. Well, in her case, she's got her family with a history of mental disorder. Her brother was bipolar, ended up dying. But she went on a rampage. She started with having a threesome. Then she was making trips to Vegas where she was having threesomes with her and just dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And then she became a hooker.
Mm-hmm.
And would still be going on had she not been busted. I don't know who busted her. I got to ask who busted her. I know the smoking gun caught on about it, but I want to know who it was that exactly busted her. But anyway, she's going to join us here on the show in a minute.
Because there's very few people that are going to recognize her probably from the Olympics.
You know what I mean? You only know the Olympians that were like the gold medal champions.
Superstars. Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody, like, first of all, I don't understand why anybody becomes an Olympian. I get it. I mean, I would love to be like, yes, I represented my country and I brought back a gold for them competing in the other countries. But not when you look at all that has to go into it. The training that they do, that these people have done since they were children, there doesn't seem to be a payoff.
Sure there is.
Why?
It's because, like, for instance, say runners. Runners aren't, there's no American Running League or anything like that. So for runners, they go, okay, I'm an amateur, I'm an Olympian, I won gold, now who wants to sponsor me? I'm turning pro. I'm
going to run.
You do, like, Pan Am games, you do different stuff. There's different events. Right, there are events that happen.
I'm just saying, to me, like, the work is not worth it. Like, if you were going to be a baseball player and play baseball, you're hoping for a major league contract. It's you. The pride is probably the same, but you don't get the accolades that come with, like, being a regular, an athlete, like in baseball or football or something.
Right, but for somebody who is, like, a runner, for instance, it's a lot more marketable to say, this guy is a pro runner and gold medalist.
And let's be honest, though, and I'm not belittling it, but the only people who care about gold medal runners are other runners.
Probably, right? Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I wouldn't. Maybe I would pick a shoe if I was thinking about running based on who.
Right.
Who's you know? I don't know. It's not. There is not that kind of endorsement money and whatnot, unless, like you were saying earlier, you're the.
But if you have Under Armour, Adidas, or something like that, where you're getting they're sponsoring you,
yeah,
or you're endorsing them, you're making a lot of money off of that. And the gold medal just kind of makes you more high profile.
I can tell you, I'd make much more money being a hooker,
yeah,
and being happier.
You
being
can do
hooker.
That as well.
Certainly a lot less exercise. Anyway, she's got a book out. It's called Fast Girl, A Life Spent Running from Madness. This is Susie Faber Hamilton. Susie, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you?
I, too, am doing great. I have to ask you, we were just discussing this. Before we get to the juicy stuff, what possesses somebody to want to be? What to you was the thing that made you want to be in the Olympics? Because we were just arguing that the payoff of being an Olympic athlete doesn't seem nearly as cool as, like, being a baseball player or a football player, and it seems like way more work and more competition.
I think you got it right there, completely. I think, for me, it was something that came easy, and beating all the boys, it was just something I fell into. And I think as a kid, too, a lot of goals are, I want to be in the Olympics. So that's, for me, that's what it was, just I fell into it and obsession. Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of always, when we're kids, they come around, they make a big deal about it on TV, and you know that that's, if you think if you're the best, then I guess that's where you should be.
Sure.
And
there's only so many people that have Olympic medals, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you were, what is a middle distance runner?
A middle distance is 800, so a half mile and 1500, which is almost a mile.
Wow.
So that's middle. So basically, you're sprinting around the track. So I would have to do a 64 lap for the 1500. So four times going 64 pace.
That's why, wow. Galvin, to answer your question, why her body is so fantastic.
Yeah, that will do it.
Well, thank you. And now I do other exercises. So I do, you know, yoga, bar. I don't know if you've heard of bar, but
amazing.
It elongates your body. It's really awesome.
How tall are you?
You know, I'm only 5'4", but people expect me to be really tall. But
yeah.
As a runner, you want to be more compact because it's all about how quick you can get the other foot on the ground. So if you're striding, you're wasting time in the air.
And let me
add, if you're tall, you're just kind of floating. You want to hit that ground as quick as you can.
Galvin's a runner, so he can relate to you, but I'm not. But it doesn't matter what kind of shoes you wear, right? You can wear anything. But
yeah, I still sprint. Like last night, I was sprinting on the Strand in California, right on the ocean there. And I love when I can do that. I can do that about once a week because my body won't allow me. And I just sprint past people.
My body doesn't allow me either. Never has.
I don't think she heard your question.
Oh, she heard me.
No,
he said
it doesn't matter what kind of shoes you wear. It totally does.
Not necessarily. You see these guys running marathons. I haven't seen any women yet, but they run bare feet.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, but, you know, there's great shoes all over.
Anyway, Susie's got a very interesting story. In addition to being an Olympic runner, she was involved in a relationship. Now, you met your husband in college?
I met him, it'll be 25, well, I met him like 29 years ago, but we will be married for 25 years next May.
And while you're married, see, I was explaining this before.
He was the only partner I had my entire life.
See, that's the problem. The problem, because a lot of women who think that that's what they're supposed to do, and they get married and they have families and they do one thing, and then all of a sudden they get a little taste of what it's like to be the fun, crazy side, and then they go through that period of being wild.
Right. But for me, there's so much more to just that aspect, because I don't know how, like in the first place, on her 20th anniversary, we decided to do some bucket list things, which was jump from an airplane and have a threesome, something nobody would ever find out about.
At the same time?
That would be difficult. Oh, okay. What happened was 2 months before the threesome and the jumping out of the plane in Vegas, I had been misdiagnosed for depression, and they put me on a drug called Zoloft. And by no means am I making any excuses, but I know this drug immediately changed me. I was on top of the world. I was exhilarated. I had no inhibitions. So with somebody having bipolar, not knowing I had bipolar at the time, and being prescribed Zoloft in some people, it can bring on a hypersexuality.
Uh-huh.
And there is no doubt this happened to me. I know
it's usually the opposite. It's usually if you have depression and you're taking medication, it takes away from your sex drive.
Well, but see, you have to understand, I was bipolar, so it's the combination of the bipolar and the Zoloft, but you are correct. So that, you know, just Google Zoloft and bipolar, and you'll see that this is legit. I think that's what's hard. It's hard for our society to put their arms around that and understand how hypersexuality happens. With sex and diseases, it's so misunderstood.
So let me ask you real quick. Did you have the bucket list before the Zoloft? Or did you guys, once you took the Zoloft, you're like, let's do some crazy stuff?
It was around the time right after I took the Zoloft that we started to think about these things. There's no way I could have done jumping out of an airplane.
By the way, he was thinking about it before the Zoloft. You just
Well, I mean, that's natural. I mean, But I was, I don't know. I still kind of wonder about this gray area. Could I have had the threesome without the hypersexuality? You know, people talk about it, but they don't always go through with it. So I'm just not sure if I would have gone through or not.
Did you like it?
It changed me immediately, and I talk about it in my book, Fast Girl. I talk about how after that threesome, it was like something changed in me. And I told Mark right afterwards, I'm like, don't you feel different? Like, were walking through the casino, and we just did something nobody else has done, or maybe not as many people have done.
Right.
Obviously, lots of people do this, but I had changed, and I was feeling a manic high, and it was incredible, and I loved that feeling. It was my first taste.
Yeah, see, that's a thing, and then, but you had lived, in addition to having this heightened level of sexuality, you have never done anything like this before. I mean, you'd been with one man, you had one partner, a whole new world opened up for you.
Exactly, and being an athlete, I was very coachable in that I did whatever my coaches said, and I didn't party. I drank once in a while, but I didn't party. I didn't have any sexual explorations when I was, you know, in college or high school. I was the good girl. I was the goody two shoes. So this world opening up to me was, oh my God, this is incredible.
Now, did he feel the same way, or is he like, all right, slow it down?
No, you know, for him as a guy, it was great, but he didn't have the experience I had. He wasn't like, oh, we need to do this again.
Yeah.
After that happened, it was a 6-month progression before I became an escort. So I didn't have the threesome and then just became an escort. It was me exploring, hiring a gigolo and from picking men up at bars, which was incredibly dangerous.
Now he was cool. He was cool with that. He knew you were doing it.
He wasn't cool with this. He didn't like the idea. And I told him, I convinced him that it'll just be once. I just want to, we did the female threesome. Why can't I just hire the gigolo, you know, and it'll only be that one time.
Which, by the way, is why more guys don't push for threesomes.
Yeah.
You know you're going to get that. Well, now you owe me one coming back at you.
Right. So that was kind of, and again, this was a progression. I'm just kind of making it sound really quick.
Right, right.
Because we don't have a lot of time. So after the gigolo, and he said that basically I could tell that, he was getting paid. And that was kind of this light bulb moment where I had convinced Mark, please just let me try it once. I want to try being an escort. This would be, nobody in the world would ever know.
Right.
And you know, I can live like I've never lived before.
But you weren't doing it because you needed the money. You wanted the exhilaration of being that type of person.
Exactly. And my marriage wasn't going great with Mark. That's why we did the threesome in the first place.
Right.
To kind of spark things. And I hated the job I was doing. I shouldn't have been working with my husband in the real estate. It just...
Yeah, I was boring Wisconsin housewife, real estate, one partner. You were due for a breakout.
Right. I think, you know, all that just set me in this depression and the chemical imbalance in my brain.
Right.
It put me in this spiral down. But when I look back, it was the Sydney Olympics in 2000 that was my first inkling of my of my downward spiral.
Well, let me ask you real quick. Now, how did that, we hear all sorts of stories and that's where all the action has. And you kids go away to Olympic Village. It's all they do is have sex with each other.
Well, I mean, there's 2,000 condoms that are handed out at the Olympics.
Right,
don't
right.
Realize this side of it. Yeah, and here you are, like me, who's trained her entire life. I was in the Olympic dorms, and it was a party. And mine was the last event. It was crazy, but that was my first Olympics in 92. In Sydney, my last Olympics in 2000, I had enormous pressure. I had just lost my brother the year before. He died by suicide. He was bipolar. I felt the weight of the world on my shoulders in order to win.
Right.
And I wasn't, with 100 meters to go, I was being passed and I wasn't going to get the gold. Nike had just spent all this money investing in me and I just did a commercial. It was all just too much, and instead of speaking up, I ended up in the race falling on purpose because I felt if I fall on purpose, I have an excuse rather than finishing the race and last and just, oh, she failed. You know, she choked.
Could they tell you were faking it? Did they tell you that you fell on purpose or did you not reveal that till later?
I definitely was having a full-fledged anxiety attack.
Right.
So I never said anything. And then the media just came up with this excuse that I was dehydrated. And I was like, great.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for giving me that immediate out. But that was the downward spiral. I never got over or dealt with that, that how I had sabotaged my own Olympic dream.
Man, that's got to be so difficult after training so hard and working with that and the pressures that come with it and your family with your brother. I mean, that's going to end up exploding at some point.
And looking back, I should have been medicated because I wasn't able to handle the anxiety. And I do believe the bipolar that was, you know, already swirling in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, if I was medicated, I doubt I would have had that drive.
That's true. This is Susie Faber Hamilton. She's got a book out called Fast Girl, A Life Spent Running from Madness. She was an Olympic athlete, and once she had this experimental night with her husband with a threesome, over time, that manifested into her becoming a call girl. How long did that last?
It was exactly 1 year till a tabloid, The Smoking Gun. I was revealed through a client who I couldn't see, and he felt rejected.
Uh-huh.
He actually was the one who told The Smoking Gun, and he found me at the Rock and Roll Marathon appearance I was doing in Las Vegas and escorting at the same time. And he basically approached me and said, I know who you are. You're not Kelly. I created a different person,
right,
persona. And he then basically said that, give me a statement or I'm going to ruin your life. And I thought, for sure, my life is ruined. I'm done. I was over. And that's kind of what happened.
But in the beginning of the interview, I hadn't read the book. I only read parts of it. You referred to your husband. You're still with your husband?
Yes. You know what's amazing about Mark is that after I was diagnosed, he tried so desperately to get me out, but there was no way. I got sucked in. I wasn't getting out. And after I was diagnosed with bipolar, he then really focused on the disease and was able to let that behavior go. I totally believe relationships can be saved. I'm not saying everybody has bipolar or mental illness that has an affair or cheats. I'm just saying, if there is a disease involved, a mental health issue, relationships could be saved if people just focus on that.
Well, I think that's a testament to your relationship that the two of you can get through something like that. And I have to ask you, is there ever any part of you that still wants to have crazy days every once in a while?
You know, if I'm having like a depressed day, that something just, you know, with this book, it's a huge trigger for me. So there's days that I'm at such a low that I'm thinking, okay, what would make me feel better? Okay, do I drink a bottle of wine? Do I, you know, think about going back to Vegas and acting on that? I don't believe I can act on it because of the medicine. I'm not hypersexual anymore.
Right.
So I don't feel that need to go that route. But I still feel like alcohol would be a solution. But again, the medication makes me stop and think, whereas when I was on the Zoloft, I would just do. I never thought of any consequences.
Sure,
the riskier, the crazier, the better the high.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to ask, so at the Rock and Roll Marathon in Vegas, so did this guy see you there? Was it just like a chance that he saw you?
No.
And he was like,
no, the guy read her out, the reporter.
He flew from the East Coast. He knew I was in Vegas for this appearance.
But how did he know you? How did he?
With the rejected client ratted her out.
How did the rejected client know who you are?
Because I told 7 clients my name.
Oh, okay.
Because of the risky behavior, it just kind of intensified the high for me.
You almost kind of want to get caught sometimes.
Yeah, because I was just wondering, because there's not a lot of people that are going to know an Olympic medalist, you know, unless they're all over everywhere where they would point somebody out and go, oh, I know exactly who that is.
Right, and running, you know, it's not like you can spot a track and field athlete walking down the street.
Right.
So I told, and my appearance was changing. I was trying to look the ideal look of an escort. So I felt like there's no way anybody would recognize me.
I swear, I went to a bachelor party, and the next day, I'm like, I think I banged Mary Lou Retton last night. I'm not sure. Cost me $2,000, though.
You are bad.
Listen, it's a very interesting story. Fast Girl, A Life Spent Running from Madness, Susie Favor Hamilton. You can get it at SusieFavorHamilton.com. And it's not just a story of whoring it up. I mean, there's mental illness involved. There's a long, strong marriage involved. And a goddamn rat in Las Vegas who ruined the whole thing. People just can't keep their mouths shut.
But you know what? He did save my life.
I know. I'm joking. I mean, if he didn't give you the opportunity to finally get out and get whatever the correct help you needed was. And in the meantime, I'm going to stop and get some Zoloft for my wife on the way home. Just see what kind.
But again, it wouldn't have that effect on her.
Listen,
if she wasn't bipolar.
It's worth a shot.
I'm going to try everything and see what.
And it's not a guarantee that her chemical makeup in her brain is going to be different than mine. Everybody's different.
No, I know. I think
you like to kid and tease.
I think that you're very strong and to be able to talk about this while still dealing with the fact that you have to deal with triggers is great. So I appreciate you coming on the air.
Thank you. Yeah, that is a difficult part, but thank you for giving me this platform to speak to your audience. I really do appreciate that.
All right, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that are in similar situations that's the best way for them to get help is hear other people talk about it.
Oh, my gosh. You would not believe with the emails I'm getting how people are saying your story resonates with me. I lived that life or I'm living that life. Not that they're escorts.
Right.
But they're living that life.
Fast Girl, A Life Spent Running from Madness, Susie Favor Hamilton. Thank you, Susie.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
You hear that? If your wife has been bipolar, Zoloft is the way to go.
Steve and Julie Weintraub here for the Golden Diamond Source. If you're thinking about getting engaged, Golden Diamond Source is your one-stop destination.
Shop, compare, and save at the Golden Diamond Source.
3800 Ulmerton Road.
Or online at goldendiamondsource.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.